And the title of this will be The Blood of the Covenant. Let's begin by reading in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. You just can't live without your blood. If you lose your blood, you've lost your life. When the blood is forfeited, the life is forfeited. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Now, we know that man was, that God created man. And I picture Adam laying there, a created body, made from the dust of the ground, with no life in him. And God blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We are souls that have a body. And the soul that sinneth shall die. Ezekiel 18:4. But God has given us the blood for to make an atonement for the soul. And in the Old Testament, the blood of calves and of goats was typical of the blood of the Son of God that should come and pour out His blood as the blood of the everlasting covenant, to ratify and seal that covenant to the people of God. So, look at Psalm 89. Verse 34. Psalm 89, verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, and as speaking of Christ, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in the heavens, Selah. So there in very brief form is the covenant God has promised to Christ, that his seed will endure forever. And that promise, it is a covenant of promise. It is a covenant made by God's promise. Now, he didn't say that if thy seed do so and so, I'll do so and so. He said, I will do so and so. And that is the promise of the covenant. It's an unconditional covenant. It is conditioned upon the promise of God. God's promise is that his seed, that Christ and his seed, his throne and his seed should endure forever and ever. Well, who is his seed? Well, that is everyone to whom he gives our most holy faith. And it is that faith that separates us experientially from this world. Our faith cannot fellowship in this world religiously. Just can't do it. Won't work. Be of grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more of grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more of grace. Otherwise, works is no more works. And there's two religions in this world. There's grace and works. And you can't talk with any religious person more than 5-10 minutes until you know what side they're on. They're either a believer in works or grace. And once you find out, that wedge is driven between you. And you just can't. You just can't fellowship with them. You just can't do it. You cannot agree. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:2, I believe that is. Now look at look over to Matthew. Chapter 26. And let's begin reading at verse 26. And this is the night. This is the night that they partook of the last Passover supper, and the night when he initiated the Lord's supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." This is my blood of you. It is the blood of the covenant of God. All his life, he had carried the blood of the covenant in his veins and in his arteries. And some may say, well, it wasn't the blood of the covenant until it was shed. Well, it was God's blood as long as it was in his body. And it was his blood. And he said, "It is my blood of the covenant." Now, it was manifested that it was the blood of the covenant, and that it sealed the blood of the covenant in the shedding of it. When it was poured out. Because when his blood was shed, the Holy Ghost tore the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 7. But into the second, that is, into the second chamber of the tabernacle, which is the Holy of Holies. But into the second, and I'm reading Hebrews 9:7, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying, that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Now look at Matthew, I think it's Matthew, Matthew 27:51. And let's begin reading at verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks. Now that was at the sealing or the ratifying of that everlasting covenant by that precious blood of the Son of God. Look at Acts 20:28. These scriptures, I know they're all very familiar to you, but they're always worth reading. Acts 20:28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now the Lord told the Pharisees on one occasion, he said, if these hold their peace, the rocks would cry. Well, they did cry out. They rent it. And the earth shook when that covenant was sealed with his blood. Now look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through his own blood, which is the blood of the New Testament. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. And it is the blood of the everlasting covenant. It was the same blood through which he was raised from the dead. By that blood, our sins are washed away. Look at, well, let's, while we're here at Hebrews, look at Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9:26. And we'll begin reading in verse 25. Hebrews 9:25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have suffered often since the foundation of the world, but now once, and in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin, finally and forever, by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now look at Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 8. Well, let's begin reading at verse 7. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Now, this is when our Lord was facing the cross and knew that His soul was about to be made a sin offering and that He was to be forsaken of His Father while He underwent the agony and suffering of the cross and accomplished the death of His own person and of all His people. I am crucified with Christ. He accomplished our death. Amen. We were in Him.
Amen.
When He accomplished death for Himself and for His people.
Amen.
And He says here, He is near that justifieth me. Now He bore in His own body all the sin of all the elect of God of all ages.
Yeah.
He bore all our sins.
Amen.
He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And He is near. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment, as the moth shall eat them up. Now, even though the Lord Jesus was laden with our sin, in Himself, He was the perfect Christ. In Himself, He was the sinless Christ. But He was the sin bearer. He bore the sin of many. And when He had suffered all that God required, His sufferings in the flesh, the sufferings of His soul, the forsaking the Father, turning His back on Him, His death in our room, God pronounced all the Trinity of the Godhead, pronounced satisfaction upon His finished work. And He was justified from all the sin that He bore while He was on that tree. All of that sin was put away. There was nothing left of it. And in justifying Him who is the head of the body, He justified all the body. Now, that was virtually done before the foundation of the world. He stood as a lamb as it had been slain from the foundation of the world. Putting together Revelation chapter 5 verse 6 and Revelation 13 8. And Christ washed us from our sins in His own blood. And it was His own blood that put away the sin of the elect, which He bore in His own body.
Yeah. Yeah.
So none can condemn Him. Now, none can condemn those who were in Him when He accomplished death for those who were in Him. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that has that justified. God justified them in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gave us the assurance of our justification in the person of Christ through faith. We could never have known it were it not for the faith of God's elect. Who is he that condemneth? Back to Isaiah, verse 50. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine enemy? Let us come together. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that condemneth me in my members? His members that are in him, that have forever been in him, cannot be condemned because they are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. That debt is paid. There can be no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, in that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished death for all his people, paid our debt, God demonstrated his satisfaction in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ by raising him from the dead, by his ascension up into glory, and by his session at the right hand. That was God's stamp of approval on all that Christ did for his people. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 24. And we'll begin reading at verse 22. Speaking of Christ, well, let's just begin reading verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Now, I'd like to look just a minute back in Leviticus chapter 4. Leviticus chapter 4. Now this is the sin offering. For the sin, for the priest, in the case of the Levitical priest, in the case of the anointed priest, which was the high priest, who had sinned. But in the New Testament, this is typical of the Lord Jesus, to whom sin was imputed. Not his own sin by commission, but his own sin by the appointment of God through imputation of sin. Christ Jesus was made guilty in the eye of God's law and justice because the Father had laid on him the iniquity of all the sin of all the church of all ages. He said, my sins have gone over my head. Well, they weren't his by commission. They were his by imputation. They were my sins by commission. They were the sins of all his people. They were the sins of the congregation of the Lord. And they were being borne by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's one thing particularly that struck my mind as I was studying this week. And that's in verse 6. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. Now that priest dipped his finger in the blood of the covenant that God had enjoined to him. And it shows the close personal contact and dependence that we have upon the blood of the covenant that God has enjoined to us, which is the blood of the New Testament, which is God's own blood, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It shows us the absolute dependence that we have upon that precious blood for our salvation. He dipped his finger in the blood. His finger was covered with blood. Every crevice in his finger, every fingerprint, every deformity was veiled and hidden by that blood. And it is an allegory, his finger standing for his person. He was covered by the blood. The company of New Testament priests, which we are all washed and covered in the blood of the everlasting covenant. That blood has stood for us from eternal ages past. Even when Adam sinned, we could not be condemned. God had already put our sin away. As he told David, when David committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered Uriah, before the cross, Nathan said, I put your sin, or he spit, Nathan speaking for God said, I put your sin away. How did he do that? By charging it to Christ. And Christ dying, bearing those sins, accomplishing death, fulfilling the law, the soul that sinneth must die, the wages of sin is death. Christ put those sin away virtually in the covenant of grace from eternity past. This is the promise that was made before the foundation of the world. Look at Titus 1:1. Titus 1:1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Well, that shows you that everybody don't have this faith. It's just for God's elect. And it's by revelation, being taught of the Spirit of God. Thy children, thy elect, shall be taught of God, and grace shall be the peace of thy children. Isaiah 54:13. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. What was that promise? That was the everlasting covenant. And it was sealed by the Lord Jesus Christ's own blood, and everyone in whom God puts that most holy faith, and he has to put it there by putting his Spirit in us as a spirit of life and a spirit of faith and a spirit of everything that we have toward God. It's given to us freely according to the terms of that everlasting covenant of grace, and it is sealed to us by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, indeed, Christ had to die. That was according to the promise. That was promised in the covenant. Had to be. But God rested in the death of Christ before it actually took place. He calleth those things that are not as though they were. He doesn't have to wait to see what happens. He has appointed everything that's going to happen. And it is certain to happen. And he has appointed the everlasting life of all of the children of the everlasting covenant. Look at Acts. Let's look at Acts. Acts chapter 3, verse 25. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now that brought us in. Wasn't just to the Hebrews. It's all kindreds of the earth. We are the children. All who believe, all who are to whom it is given to believe that Jesus is the Christ of God. That's the gift of the covenant. It's a covenant gift. and it's for the children of the covenant. Look at Galatians 4:28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. The promise of the covenant. Look at Ephesians 2:12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the what? Covenants of promise. God's promise, I will, and they shall, is His covenant. Well, look back up there at verse. That at that time you were without Christ as far as you know. As far as you knew. But there was never a time that you were not comprehended in the thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've always been part of Him. Members in particular. Look at Colossians. And you that were sometimes aliens and enemies, how? In your mind. As far as you knew, that's all it was to you. You was the enemy of God before you was regenerated. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. God took all the enmity out of your heart and replaced it with love to Him. And why do you do that? It is because of your interest in the covenant of grace. Because He had chosen you in Christ before the foundation of the world. When you had done neither good nor evil, but that the purpose of God according to election might stand, it was said, the elder shall serve the younger, and it said that we'll be brought into the bond of the covenant. Look at Ezekiel 20. Verse 37. Now our Lord Jesus Christ, as Brother Jerry says, orchestrates everything that goes on planet Earth. And all flesh is given He's given power over all flesh in order that He might give eternal life to all that the Father gave Him in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. John 17:2. And here's how it works in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37. And I will cause you to pass under the rod. I'm going to bring you under the sound of the gospel. I'm going to bring my children under the sound of the gospel. I'm going to make them to sit under the gospel. And then I'm going to give them a heart and a ears to hear. And it's going to have its effect upon them. It's going to give them a new heart. and a new spirit. And I will cause you to pass under the gospel. Who does that? The Lord Jesus Christ. And will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I'm going to make the covenant of grace that gives all the gifts of grace. I'm going to bring you into the bond of that covenant and give you everything that God has for His people. The best things. Giving us His Son. Amen. Brother.